Jeremiah chapter 2 is where we'll be in just a few moments together. As you're turning in your Old Testament, I'm going to take the opportunity to say how thankful I am to be here this evening. Thank you to the elders of this local church. It's an honor to be here speaking in this fall series with so many other able men that have come before and that will be coming to you in the next few weeks. It is an honor, and I am grateful to be here. I was given this exact topic in addictions, so I knew what was coming for me to present a lesson to you. However, I was given the opportunity to choose the exact date. Brother Robert, I'm not real sure why I chose to talk about addictions the day before we're going to celebrate Thanksgiving. I'll do my best to keep to the Word of God. Try not to make anybody feel bad about all the things you're going to eat or things you're going to buy in the next day or two. We're going to talk about addictions tonight. I'm going to begin by asking you a question. What comes to your mind when you hear the word addiction? Your mind likely drifts to some extreme case, such as a drug addict, an alcoholic, someone given over to their lust, perhaps in pornography. Maybe you think of somebody who has a problem with gambling. Or you might even think about rehab or a 12-step program. Whatever it is that you think of when I say the word addiction, it is likely something that is the extreme addictions that we know of in the media. And I highly doubt that you think about yourself when you think about an addict. When we hear the word addict, we think about somebody on TV, somebody in Hollywood, somebody on the side of the street, somebody in a rehab, but we don't think about ourselves. We think about everybody else and the problems that they have. I want you to know that God speaks to us about addictions, but He speaks to us about addictions in a way that's probably a little bit different than you might think that He says, and what I might say tonight. Most of the time when God refers to addictions, He's not pointing to the faithless. He's not even talking about their bad habits. Most of the time in the Word of God, when God speaks about addictions, He is talking to the faithful. He is talking to His own children. That would be you. That would be me when He talks about addictions. A topic like addiction, you might expect us to cover some of the extreme addictions that I just named. But tonight, I want to look at it from a slightly different view than you might have thought of before. I want to look at three points with you tonight. The first thing, considering addictions in our lives, I want us to first look at the problem of addiction, whether it be in somebody else's life or it be in our own. Number two, I want to look at the solution that God gives, that if there is something in your life that you see as an addiction, well, God gives us solutions to remove those. And then thirdly, I want to look at the command. There is an exact command that God gives on the topic of addiction, and that'll be our last point that we observe tonight. Point number one in our notes together. I want to begin by looking at the problem. I want to help you identify tonight, is there any addictions in your own life? I ask you to turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 2. I'd like you to read along with me verses 1 through 8. And then we're going to pick up again in verse 23. Jeremiah chapter 2. Would you begin reading with me in verse 1? Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, go and cry in the hearing of Jerusalem, saying, thus says the Lord. I remember you, the kindness of your youth, the love of your betrothal or your bride. So when you went after me in the wilderness in a land not sown, Israel was holiness to the Lord, the first fruits of his increase. All that devour him will offend. Disaster will come upon them, says the Lord. Verse 4. Hear the word of the Lord, O house of Jacob, and all the families of the house of Israel. Thus says the Lord, what injustice have your fathers found in me,
that they have gone far from me, have followed idols, and have become idolaters. Neither did they say, where is the Lord? Who brought us up out of the land of Egypt? Who led us through the wilderness? Through a land of deserts and pits. Through a land of drought and the shadow of death. Through a land that no one crossed and where no one dwelt. Verse 7. I brought you into a bountiful country to eat its fruit and its goodness. But when you entered, you defiled my land and made my heritage an abomination. The priests did not say, where is the Lord? And those who handle the law did not know me. The rulers also transgressed against me. The prophets prophesied by Baal and walked after things that do not profit. Would you pick up with me in verse 23? How can you say, I am not polluted? I am not gone after Baals. See your way in the valley. Know what you have done. You are a swift dromedary breaking loose in her ways, a wild donkey used to the wilderness that sniffs at the wind in her desire. In her time of mating, who can turn her away? All those who seek her will not weary themselves. In her month, they will find her. Withhold your foot from being unshod and your throat from thirst. But you said, there is no hope. No, for I have loved aliens, and after them I will go. As the thief is ashamed when he is found out, so is the house of Israel ashamed. They and their kings, and their prince, and their priest, and their prophets, saying to a tree, you are my father, and to a stone, you gave birth to me. For they have turned their back to me and not their face. But in the time of their trouble, they will say, arise and save us. Verse 28, but where are your gods that you have made for yourselves? Let them arise. If they can save you in the time of your trouble, for according to the number of your cities are your gods, O Judah. Why will you plead with me? You all have transgressed against me, says the Lord. In vain I have chastened your children. They have received no correction. Your sword has devoured your prophets like a destroying lion. Verse 31 and 32. O generation, see the word of the Lord. Have I been a wilderness to Israel or a land of darkness? Why do my people say, we are lords? We will come no more to you. Can a virgin forget her ornaments or a bride her attire? Yet my people have forgotten me days without number. As we read through all of these verses in Jeremiah chapter 2, we both see a problem. We see a problem with the house of Judah, the house of Israel, and we see that they are not very pleasing to God at all, because there is a problem in their life, and that problem is being addicted to things, to earthly treasures. In other words, they have idolatry in their life. When you break down addiction and think about what it is in their lives and in our lives, it's idolatry. That's what it is. Being addicted or placing anything above God is idolatry. The very definition of being addicted is this: a strong and harmful need to regularly have something or do something. Let me say that again. A strong and harmful need to regularly have or do something. Will you consider with me tonight, are there any of these things in your life? Are there any things in your life that you have a strong and harmful need to regularly have or do, even over your desire for God? Even over your desire to study the Word of God, to pray to God, to sing hymns, to worship? Is there anything in your life that you are placing above God? Here in Jeremiah chapter 2, any and all things that they placed above God were considered idolatry, spiritual harlotry. So that means for us that our love for self over God is an addiction. Our love for sexual immorality over God Himself is an addiction. Our love for pleasure, entertainment, our love for gods on this earth is an addiction. Now you might say, now everybody in this room, mainly we're Christians. We don't worship gods. We don't have idols in our homes. We don't bow down before things like they did in the Old Testament. With keeping a marker in Jeremiah chapter 2, would you go with me to your New Testament, to Philippians chapter 3? Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, I want us to read together verses 18 through 21. 18 through 21. For as many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who set their mind on earthly things. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to His glorious body. Going back to verse 19, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, who set their mind on earthly things. Now, I doubt that there are very many of you here tonight that have some type of graven image in your home. But I want you to know that if there is anything that you are putting more of your time, more of your effort, more of your thought process, more of your love, more of your attention, any of this over God, well, then it is an addiction and it is an idol in your life. Anything that we do in this manner makes us enemies of the cross. Our citizenship should be in heaven. We should keep our mind on things of heaven, not of the earth. Brother, anything in our life that we have a strong or harmful need, that we must have it more often than we have our time with God, prayer with God, studying the Word of God, that can become an addiction in your life. I want to give you a few examples to help you identify, to kind of try to take Jeremiah chapter 2 and apply it to your everyday life. I want to give you some results of being addicted to something in your life. First thing I want to share with you is a result of being addicted is having a lack of honesty. An addict of some type of extreme addiction, a characteristic is having a lack of honesty. Jeremiah chapter 2 again. I want to read from verse 23. When the house of Jacob, the house of Israel, what do they say about the sin in their life? Well, verse 23, they say, how can you say I am not polluted? I am not going after Baals. They're saying, we haven't gone after idols, but obviously they have. Let me tell you that justifying something in your life or having a lack of honesty about something in your life doesn't mean it's not so. Speaking of these extreme addictions that you might have thought I would have talked about, I want to share with you a poll. A poll from Gallup that was released as recently as July 2013. The participants, when asked, do you have an occasional use for alcoholic beverages such as liquor, wine, or beer? How many people do you think said, on occasion, yes, I drink some type of alcohol? I thought it might have been higher than this. The number is 60%. 60% of the participants polled said that on occasion, yes, we do have an alcoholic beverage. Here comes that lack of honesty. Later in the poll, when they were asked, do you sometimes drink more alcoholic beverages than you think you should? 78% said no. 78% said, no, I don't think that I drink more than I should. I don't become intoxicated. I don't do anything to harm anybody else. I don't know these 60% that said that they occasionally drink, but I think common sense tells us that more than 78% are drinking more than they think they are. When we are addicted to something, we have a lack of honesty about it. Is there something in your life tonight, perhaps beyond the measures of being addicted to alcohol, being addicted to a drug, a substance, being addicted to gambling, being addicted to something like pornography? Is there something else you could think of that you thought you're spending more of your time on? Lack of honesty is a result, and we need to see that in our lives. The second result I want to share with you is an addict. An addict often places undue emphasis on being addicted to something in their life. Again, I want to share with you another poll, some more data. This was taken in August 2012. This is done by the Time Magazine survey. And they found that 84% of people surveyed said that they couldn't go a single day without their mobile device in hand. Can you believe that? Their mobile device in hand, 84%? Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 25. They say, "For I have loved aliens, and after them I will go." Why are we talking about cell phones when we're talking about idols? Well, it's for this reason. There's a lot of things, I think, in your life that you wouldn't consider an idol. But if you spend more time on it than you do studying the Word of God, being involved in it more than praying to God, going home, talking about spiritual things to your wife, your husband, your children, studying, edifying other Christians. Well, then let me tell you, brethren, you might not think that it is, but it is an addiction. The poll goes on to say 1 in 4 people check their phones every 30 minutes, while 1 in 5 check it every 10 minutes. I don't think I really have to tell you, we understand this. You go to your restaurants, and half the time couples aren't even speaking to one another. They're just eating, and their phone's right here, not even speaking to one another. You go to Walmart, and people are walking around like this. You go to get gas. People can't even stop for a second to pump their gas. They put it in, and immediately, and they're down, right? And we do it, and I do it. I'm not saying cell phones are evil. I'm not saying that you're not allowed to do it. What I'm saying is, where is your time? Where is your attention? Where is your love? What do you spend your time doing? I want to share one more part of this survey. It says 75% of those of the ages from 25 to 29 years old said that they take their phones even to bed with them. I am not in the age bracket of 25 to 29. I am older than that, but I am very guilty of being one that takes the phone to bed. The phone is the lifeline, right? You understand. You're laughing because you know it's true. I take calls. I text. I email. I fact check on the internet. I use it as my alarm clock. Again, I'm not saying that cell phones are inherently bad. I'm not trying to say your smartphone is evil. I'm just trying to point out some things to you tonight. And we're going to talk about addictions. Stop looking at people on TV and saying, those horrible people. Stop looking at people in rehab and saying, oh, what a pitiful life that is. And then not seeing the own sin of addiction of things smaller than that in your own life. We don't have to be addicted to substance. We don't have to be addicted to tobacco, to alcohol, to whatever it is, to be sinful, to allow it to overcome our lives and spend more time, more attention than we ever, ever give to God. Luke chapter 8, verse 14. The seed which fell among the thorns, these are the ones who have heard. And as they go on their way, they are choked with worries and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to maturity. I just want to help us understand tonight, and we're talking about addictions, that there are things, worries of this life, pleasures of this life, that can cut you, can cut me off from bearing fruit for God. Growing spiritually ourselves, helping our family members grow, helping the church grow, and helping the lost to see the gospel. Let me give you a third result of being addicted to something in your life. An addict often has denial. This is perhaps one of the scariest results of being addicted to something because it's so hard to recognize in ourselves. We often need somebody around us to tell us, think you're addicted to something. For instance, how many people try to rationalize consuming some alcohol and then say to themselves, as long as I do it in moderation, it's okay? I highly doubt that anybody battling alcoholism started being an alcoholic the first day they took the first drink.
I don't think the drug addict became a drug addict the first time they took some substance. The broken marriage, because somebody is addicted to pornography online. I doubt that they became an addict to that the first time they viewed something that they had no business viewing. But see, what we do is we allow things to come in our life, and we deny that it's ever a problem. We say, you know, that's somebody else's problem, but not me. I have it under control, and I can do this in moderation. It's no big deal. Just speaking of another extreme addiction that we think of, I just want to share with you briefly. There's many more, just a few verses that even talk about alcohol. Deuteronomy chapter 32, 33 talks about alcohol being an intoxicating wine, that it's a poison of serpents. Proverbs 4:17 says alcoholic drink is the wine of violence. Proverbs 20:1 says wine is a mocker. Proverbs 23:19-20 says a wise person will not be among those that are drinking. Proverbs 23:29-30 says drinking causes woes, sorrows, fighting, gives us redness of the eyes. Proverbs 23:31, God instructs us not to even look at intoxicating drink. Brethren, whether we're talking about a battle you're having with alcohol, or putting something like your job over your walk with God, something as silly as a cell phone, perhaps entertainment in your life, sports, your children's sports and their activities. Don't be in denial about it. Proverbs chapter 6:27-28 says, can a man take fire in his bosom and his clothes not be burned? Can a man walk on hot coals and his feet not be scorched? We know the answer. Let us stop being in denial about what is so important in our life. I know that if I came up and asked any one of you and said, what's the most important thing in your life? I know what the answer would be. You would say God. I would say God. But where we use our time and our energy and our thought process, that may say another answer. But don't be in denial about it. A few weeks ago, I was teaching back in Jackson, a Bible class. And I'm teaching currently the kindergarten through second grade. That is the first time, by the way, I've ever taught that age. And I just want to say to all of you that do that age, and especially the ladies, bless you. You're doing a good work. Continue that up. You have to have some patience to teach that age. I feel like every other word that I talk about God, I'm saying, shh, be quiet, 1 minute. But in teaching this grade, I was trying to teach them about the importance of giving God your best. God doesn't want our leftovers. We were talking about sacrifice. So I went around the room and I asked the children, just give me a toy that you own. What is one thing that you would give up if God asked you, if your parents asked you? Of course, they went around the room and they each gave me a toy, some possession, and nothing too big. And yeah, I'd easily give that. If God wanted to give that up, yeah, Mr. Adam, I'd give that up. I said, okay, let me ask you again. Can you tell me what your favorite possession is that you own? Let me tell you, I got some great answers. I had one young man tell me that he had a four-wheeler, and he would not give that up. One had an iPad, some other electronics, and I thought to myself, either I was born in the wrong generation or had the wrong parents, because I did not have a four-wheeler. I didn't have the iPad. But you know, when I asked them, would you give that up if God asked you to? The answer again, Mr. Adam, I don't know about that. And of course, we expect that out of the children, right? What if I turned around and asked you what your most desired, most favorite possession is in your life? And then I asked you to give it up for God for 1 week. Could you do it? I know, again, the answer, of course I could. But I want you to think about that in your own mind right now and tonight after you leave. God asks you to step away from your job. Step away from your entertainment, your hobby, your golf, your woodworking, your fishing, your hunting.
Whatever it is, could you do it? Because if you could not do it, there's a hint that you are addicted to something else higher up than God. See how easy it is? I say the word addiction, you think the extreme case. The Word of God talks about addiction. It talks about idolatry, putting things before me, being too earthly minded. Let me give you the final one. A result of having addiction in your life, the problems that come to you in your life is self-centeredness. Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 6. Neither did they say, "Where is the Lord? Who brought us up out of the land of Egypt? Who led us through the wilderness?" You see, they're not remembering all the things God has done for them. It's all about them. Verse 8. The priest did not say, "Where is the Lord?" They're not remembering all the things God has done. Verse 32. Can a virgin forget her ornaments or a bride her attire? The answer, of course not. A bride on the day of her wedding is not going to forget the veil, not going to forget the dress, not going to forget the ornaments. But yet my people have forgotten everything that I have done for them. We become too self-centered. Again, instead of pointing the fingers at everybody else, is there anything in your life that you feel like you must have to fulfill your happiness? To make you feel like you have a real life. Instead of being so self-centered on our own jobs, our own wealth, our own popularity, social status, our children, how well they're doing in their sports and in their academics. We need to be more self-centered in life about making sure we always have time to pray to God. Always being self-centered with our time to make sure we're reading the Word of God. That we're not skipping out on services. That we're always putting Him first. But we have a real problem with that, don't we? Including myself. Because we become addicted to things of the earth. And we put that over God. I want to tell you that if you are battling, whether it be an extreme addiction or something that we might think on a lower level, may I just tell you tonight that your idol will never produce what you want it to in your life. Will never produce what you want it to in life. Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 8. Priests did not say, "Where is the Lord?" And those who handle the law did not know Him. The rulers also transgressed against me. The prophets prophesied by Baal and walked after things that do not profit. Do not profit. So many times, if you've ever done any research into rehab and 12-step programs, that's one thing they always try to teach those that they're trying to help. Though I might not agree with all the teaching that they give, I do appreciate that they always point out for people that you're trying to fill a void in your life. You feel like something's missing, so you're filling it with alcohol, with substance, with whatever addiction is that they're battling, and what you need to do is you need to fill it with God. And I would say amen to that. Too many times we are self-centered and we think we have to create our own wealth, our own popularity, our own everything in life, and we think it's all about us. Instead, we need to realize it's about God, putting Him first, and He'll provide all these things for us. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. It tells us, "Do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit." We are not to fill our lives with addictions, whether it be wine or any other addiction. But we are to fill ourselves with the Spirit or the Word of God and the knowledge that we gain from studying. John chapter 4, verses 13 and 14. Jesus answered and said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him shall never thirst. But the water that I will give him will become in him a well of water springing up to eternal life." Let me just remind you, whatever it is in your life, is there something that you believe you're putting over God? Whatever it is you're trying to seek, whatever happiness, void you're trying to fill, the only way you will ever be filled is by the spiritual waters given by Jesus, by the Word of God, by salvation. Nothing of this earth. We need to learn the lessons from Jeremiah chapter 2 and apply them to our own lives. or else we're going to repeat the same mistakes. Jeremiah chapter 2, 27, in the time of their trouble, they will say, arise and save us. At some point in their life, they realized all of these things we're following after. They're not going to do anything for us. We still have to cry up to God. We must learn the same thing, or else we will repeat the same mistakes that they did. The problem lies even still today, when we put so much stock of our time, so much of our effort, so much of our thoughts in other things other than God, we are becoming addicted to earthly treasures. Yet Jesus says in Matthew 6, 19 and 21, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Where is your treasure, brethren? We are not in the business of killing sin and addiction in our lives. Then sin and addiction will be in the business of killing our souls. We must be honest with ourselves. That's the problems. That's the issues that come from being addicted. But I don't want to leave you with just the problems. I want to leave you with solutions, godly solutions. Point number two. I want to look at six steps, six godly solutions to removing addictions in your life, whatever it is. First place we go to is Exodus chapter 20. Will you go there with me? Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20. I want to read beginning in verse 2. The Ten Commandments. It says, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image, any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them, nor serve them. When I look at verse 3, I see the first solution. I call it the removal process. Is there an addiction in your life? Is there something you definitely devote more time and attention to than the Word of God, than your walk with Christ? Then you need to remove it. You shall have no other gods before me. Let me tell you, the removal process sometimes needs to be extreme in and of itself. Sometimes we have to do extreme measures to get rid of sin in our life. I hope you're ready to do that. Is there a job that is taking all of your time and attention away from your family, away from God, away from spiritual matters? Have you ever thought you might need to look for a new job and remove that existing job? Those of us who like the social media. A lot of people are addicted to social media. You wouldn't think so, but they are. They sit around all day and just waiting for somebody to like their post or see what comment comes next. And it becomes an addiction to life where it's like all you think about. Perhaps an extreme measure is close down that account. Get rid of things that you don't need in your life. They're just taking up too much time. Is there some type of adultery, temptation in your life? Fornication? Perhaps you just need to remove yourself completely away from friends, from that person of temptation. Or perhaps you might need to even move your family to another city. Brother, whatever it takes to remove that temptation and that addiction, please do it. The first step of the process is removal. Let's go to the second step, and that's found in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. First, we need to be willing to remove addictions in our lives. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 9 and 10 says, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly I will rather boast in my infirmities, than the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. First, we need to remove addictions from our life. And secondly, we need to replace them. You don't just leave the void, you need to replace it with something. And let me encourage you to replace it with God, His grace. God's grace is all that you need. There's a lot of things in life that we want. We want to be successful in business. We want to be wealthy. We want our wives and our husbands. We want children. We want all of these things. The only thing you need is God's grace. That's all we need. As long as we have grace and forgiveness of sins, we're on the right path. I'm going to give you a third step. First, remove. Second, replace it with God. Third, we're going to find in Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. The third part, the third step of the godly solution. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Seek first the kingdom of God and its righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Where are your goals? Are you setting proper life goals? Is your goal all about work, all about wealth, all about your children being number one on the sports team, number one in academics? The first place our goal should be to remove an addiction is God. Seek first God. Seek first going to heaven. We remove it, we replace it, and we make sure our goals are set on God first, not the earthly treasures. Look at verse 19 through 21. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth. Verse 21, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Be honest about what you treasure in your life. Be honest. It's a part of the process. Remove it. Replace it. Set proper life goals. Be honest with yourself. What do you treasure? If you're not honest, you'll never be able to remove what you're addicted to. Next, it's down in verse 24. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he'll be loyal to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Many people that are addicted to certain things in life, they rationalize. They say, I can't help it. I need it. Even parents, we rationalize. We can't help that we're not studying the Word of God more often. You know, we have our jobs. We have our children. We have the sports. We have all of this. Stop rationalizing it. God needs to be first in our life. Galatians 3:27, for all of you who are baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. The final step of the godly solutions is remember whose name you wear. Remember whose name you wear. When we forget that we wear the name of Jesus Christ, then we'll become addicted to things, to earthly treasures. Because we forget that we have been bought at a price. Is there some solutions? Are there addictions in your life? Will you heed the words of God? Will you use these godly solutions to put God, number one, in your life where He belongs? Number three, I want us to look at the command. The command from God regarding addiction in our lives. Will you go with me in your New Testament to 1 Peter chapter 5? 1 Peter chapter 5. First Peter chapter 5, verse 8, we are given an exact command about addiction in our walk with Christ. Be sober. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. What is the command? Is the command to put God kind of first in moderation with some other sin? Put God kind of first and mix in with whatever addiction you have as long as it's all in moderation. That's not what it says. The command for us as Christians is to be sober. The very definition of it. Not only is it not to be drunk, but it's also to have earnestly thoughtful character, to be serious. That means that we need to be serious about our walk with Christ. It's not something flippant. It's not just Sunday morning. It's not just Wednesday night. We are to be sober about everything that we do. From the time we wake up to go to our jobs, come home with our children, everything we do, be sober about it. Be serious about it. I want to close with you by looking at one more verse. And it's going to be done in a slightly different way than I normally do in a lesson. I'm going to take one verse, but I want you to look at three different translations with me. Each translation speaks to the same meaning, but each one gives us a better understanding. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7, speaking to the same thought of being sober. In the English Standard Version, it says, "The end of all things is at hand, therefore be self-controlled and sober-minded." The ESV chooses to use the word self-controlled. Let me tell you tonight, if there is something in your life, be self-controlled. You'll never win at being the right Christian if you don't control yourself, control your thoughts, control your actions. Don't blame it on other people. Don't say, "I can't help it." Don't be like those in Jeremiah chapter 2 that says, "I love aliens, I have to go after them." Self-control. New American Standard says it this way, "Therefore be of sound judgment and sober spirit." Be wise in your decisions. Be of sound judgment. Your walk with Christ, your eternal destination of your soul is very important. Be sound about the decisions you make. Lastly, be serious and watchful in your prayers. What does God have to say about addiction in our lives? Well, He says it's idolatry. He says it's placing me below the things of the earth. He says it's putting your treasures where they don't need to be. And He says you need to be sober. That means don't mix any addictions, whether it be to an extreme addiction of alcohol, drugs, or be your cell phone, or your job, or whatever it is. I'll leave you with this thought. Psalm 42, verses 1 and 2 says, "As the deer pants for the water brooks, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God?" Friends, does your soul long after God the way that this verse says? If it doesn't, we have some work to do, but it's okay because we can do that as long as we're given the time by God. If you're a Christian, you know that there's some type of earthly addiction in your life. You need to remove it. You need to be sober. If you're not yet a child of God, and you do long for God, then long for Him in the way He asks and be obedient. Have your sins removed. As was spoken on Acts chapter 2, repent and be baptized and have your sins washed away. If we can help you with that tonight, would you come right now as we stand and sing?